Tonight I'm going to be talking about hope and purpose, and we spoke about this morning at Coast, and I just really feel like it's a message that's really going to help move your life forwards. It's going to help move church forwards, amen. And I just believe it's a message in season, and I've actually lost it. It's here somewhere. Here it is. Hope and purpose. So if you're taking notes, you can write hope and purpose at the top of your page. And if you've got your Bibles, your actual Bibles like this, or if you've got your iPhones or your inferior phones, you can use those. And you can turn to Romans 8 verse 24, and I'm going to pray. Is that cool? Awesome. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Father, to be able to be here tonight, Lord Jesus, and to be able to bring your word, Lord. I pray, Father, that we'd lean in tonight, Lord Jesus, that we would be expectant, Lord God, that we'd be expectant, Father, that we'd be receptive to your word, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you for this great church, these great people, Lord God. I pray a blessing over this time, over this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Romans 8, verse 24. Yell out when you got it. There's a few people that have got it. Romans 8, 24. You know when pastors say, yell out when you got it, because they're hoping that you'll take a while so they can actually get to their scriptures. Romans 8, 24. Here we go. It says, for this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. Two words I can't stand is wait and patience. But it's all through the Bible. Wait patiently. Wait patiently before the Lord. But we're talking about hope and purpose. And first I want to talk to you about hope just a little bit, because hope is one of these things where I think even in the church and as Christians we trip up on this word hope, because we forget actually what hope is. And often what we do is that we hope our marriages will work out, right? We hope our jobs will work out. We hope that our kids will grow up and be awesome. We hope that we'll get that pay rise at work. We hope that, we don't get struck with some kind of disease. We hope, right? We hope that things will work out in life. Who's with me? Sometimes we're just hoping that things will work out, but we forget that actually our hope is in Jesus. And when our hope is in Jesus, that's what everything flows from. So if we want hope for our marriages, our hope actually has to be in Jesus. And I know you're thinking, Damien, wow. Well, revelation, right? That's so simple. But the truth is, it's the simple things that we trip over in church life, like it really is. It's the simple things that actually confound the wise, yeah? And it's the simple things that we trip over in church, right? I think sometimes, you know, we're seeking knowledge and we want something more than Jesus. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having a theological degree or there's anything wrong with having knowledge, but, you know, it talks in the Bible about they were saved, they got baptized, and then they learnt, right? Come on, this is good. Yeah, and it's the simple things that we trip over, and although those things are fantastic, it's got to come from that place of our hope in Jesus first, amen. And it's from that everything else flows. So let's stop hoping that things will work out in our life and understand that our hope is in Jesus, amen. Because the reason why a marriage often breaks down is because sometimes there's not trust there, right? But we're looking to each other for trust rather than looking at Christ for trust, right? And so when we understand that our trust is in him and he is the one who we can truly trust, right? Because the truth is we got to trust each other, right? Our church in Toronto has got to trust me as a pastor, and they're trusting that I'm hearing from God, right? But they've actually got to put their trust in him first. Otherwise, I'm always going to let them down in some way, right? But the truth is they've got to go to Christ for their hope, amen? They've got to go to him for their trust, because he's the one who will not let you down, amen? And so that's where we go to first. And what we do in life is that we function from our dysfunction, right? Which is we hope that things will work out, rather than functioning from our relationship with Jesus, from whom our hope comes from. Amen? Is that good? You guys are amazing. You're going to have to shout me down tonight, okay? Because I've got the man cold, okay? And I need some help here, all right? I'm feeling sorry for myself. It's all good. Hey, and then of course, purpose. Well, purpose looks, for so many people, it looks different. You know, for some people, maybe they feel like their purpose is to build a great business, and maybe for someone else, their purpose is to, I don't know, save the rainforest, save the animals. Maybe someone feels like their purpose is to, maybe simply just to raise a family or whatever it is. And the truth is we trip up on purpose because we don't understand where our hope comes from, right? And the truth is, we understand where our hope comes from, then we're going to understand what our purpose is. And no longer do our jobs just be jobs, or right, or our marriages just be marriages, or our friendships just be friendships, but we actually understand the purpose behind why we do what we do and the relationships that we have. Amen? Is this okay? John 15 verse 8 says, This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So in other words, everything that we do is about bringing glory to God. Amen. That is our purpose. But if we don't understand hope, where does our hope come from? Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope comes from Jesus. Amen. Come on. This is good. But our purpose is to bring glory to God. Exodus 9 verse 16. Let's turn there for a moment. Exodus 9 verse 16. You doing okay? Exodus 9, verse 16. It says, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all of the earth." That his name might be proclaimed in all the earth. That is our purpose, right? Once again, it's like, well, yeah, duh, that's simple, Damien. Yeah, but the truth is in the church, we trip over this stuff all the time. We're looking to other places for our hope, right? We're looking to other places for our purpose, but we're never, ever, ever, ever going to have freedom if we don't first understand my hope is in Jesus. My purpose is to bring glory to God, amen, and make a way for other people. That's ultimately what our lives is all about. It's about bringing glory to God and making a way for others. And like I said before, when you choose to be present in church, when you choose to turn up to church, even just by sitting in a seat and helping just build the atmosphere, you're actually helping make a way for other people. Amen? Just by simply choosing to be here. You know, I tell our guys at church sometimes, you know, just so that there's a bit of a reality check there, I say to our leaders, you know, sometimes the truth is I wake up on a Sunday morning and there are moments, you know, when I first wake up, I'm like, is there really a God and do I really care about people? Oh, don't look at me like that. You guys have felt the same way. Come on. But I've got to make a choice to turn up to church, right? But if I don't understand hope and I don't understand purpose, right, then I don't really have a reason to get up in the morning. And I could just be like, oh, you know what, somebody else is going to do it for me. No, but God's called you, amen. And even if you're not serving on team, you turn up to church, amen. Come on, it's not all about church, but it kind of is all about church. I think Sunday is the goal, right? Yeah, we've got to do other stuff during the week, but it builds us up, the gathering together of the saints, amen? It gives us what we need to be able to push through the week, amen? Some people say, well, all I need is Jesus. Well, the truth is yes, all you need is Jesus. But if you look through the Word of God, right from start to finish, it talks all about relationship. It says it's not good for man to be alone. Come on. And the truth is we need to turn up and we need to be together. Amen. Because I believe that everything that you're called to do is about, obviously, yes, all you need is Jesus. But if you're close to Jesus, you'll understand that you need others as well. Amen. To help build your life. Iron sharpens iron. You're never going to get anywhere if you don't have a little bit of, you know, the edges being cut off a little bit, right? Is that good? So hope and purpose. Hope and purpose. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Our purpose is not to strive and keep up with the Joneses. Our purpose is not to strive and keep up with the Joneses. I don't know if you know what that saying means, keeping up with the Joneses. It basically just means that we're trying to keep up with everybody else, right? We live in a world of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Especially on Instagram, most people just put highlights of their lives, right? All the good stuff. As a pastor, I follow so many great pastors who are way ahead of me in the journey. And if I'm not comfortable in what God's called me to do, right? If I don't understand hope, my hope is in Jesus, amen. I'm functioning from my relationship with Him, not functioning from my dysfunction, amen. Because I'm imperfect. There's only one who is perfect, and that is Jesus, right? But if I don't understand that, then I'm always going to be tripping up and thinking, oh man, I'm not good enough. My church isn't good enough. Oh, you know, my kids aren't good enough. This isn't good enough, right? That's the way that we live sometimes if we don't understand hope and we don't understand purpose. And the truth is we trip up over this stuff all the time in church, right? And it's the church that needs to lead the way in this stuff. My hope is in Jesus. Amen. I want to function from my relationship with Him. It's not about me having it all together and being perfect. And I'll talk to the Coast Campus about this morning, and I'm getting into this a little bit earlier because I believe this is for a few people here, maybe for some of you young people, but the truth is that we trip up on this stuff because we try to bite off more than we can chew. Sometimes what we do, you know, yeah, my hope is in Jesus and I want to have a relationship with Him, but what we do sometimes is we try to pray for 2 hours, we try to read our Bible for 2 hours because we feel like that's what we're supposed to do, right? And we do it for maybe a week or we do it for a few days, and then we end up, I can't keep that up, and then we end up not doing anything for a few months and not reading our Bibles for a few months because we feel guilty, right? And I think, oh, I'm not going to make this. But what I say to our team is like, just try 5 minutes. 5 minutes of reading the Word, 5 minutes of praying, and maybe 5 minutes of just, you know, listening to some worship music. Amen? Yeah. Come on. I call it 5-5-5. Okay, start there, but there's got to be some sacrifice in what we do. So if 5 minutes is too easy for you, take it to 10 minutes. Take it to 15 minutes, right? I don't necessarily think it's about how much time. I just think it's about the quality and the heart behind what you do. Amen. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, right? And so often when it comes to hope and purpose, we're looking at everything that's going on around us rather than living from what's happening, letting him change the inside. Amen. So maybe that's for some of you young people today. You know, I'm not saying, you know, don't spend 10, 15, 20, an hour in the Word. I'm just saying, you know, don't bite off more than you can chew. Amen. Because in this journey, it's just one step at a time. It's moving forwards in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that good? So our purpose is not to strive and to keep up with the Joneses. You know, we looked in the scriptures there before and it said, wait patiently, right? Wait patiently. And the problem is that when it comes to what we do in life, when it comes to hope and purpose, we trip up on purpose because we're chasing opportunity all the time, right? And when you chase opportunity, you never stay in a church long enough, right? Come on, to have your character built, because the truth is the church is a great place to have your character built, because you come into a church, God calls you to be planted there. You're thinking, if God's called me to be planted, it's going to be all easy. No, that's not true, right? Iron sharpens iron, right? You're going to have people around you that tick you off. You're going to have people that, you know, are sharpening you, people who are challenging you, who are pushing you forwards. But at the same time, they love you, they care for you. When you trip up and you fall on your face, they pick you up, amen, and they help dust you off and they help push you forwards. They encourage you. They love you. They're not telling you what to do all the time. They're just coming along beside you and they build relationship before they actually tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing, right? You invite that into your life. And then when you invite it into your life, then people can actually speak into your life. Amen. Is that good? Opportunity. Opportunity is going to come when you just choose to just put your roots down deep, when you choose to be planted in the house. Amen. Don't be an opportunity chaser. Be a God chaser. Amen. Be someone who's all about the things of God. Be passionate about the things God's passionate about. And he's passionate about his church. Amen. Come on, guys. This is good. This is good. God loves you. He cares for you. He's planning a purpose for your life. You've just got to choose to be planted. Amen. Put your roots down deep in church. Our purpose is not to strive and keep up with the Joneses. You know, you'll always be threatened when you don't understand hope and purpose. You'll always be threatened when you don't understand hope and purpose. You know, as a pastor, one of the biggest privileges for me is to be a releaser of people, right? But if I live my life threatened, I'm never going to be able to build a church that's a releaser of people. The church is going to be capped off and it's not going to be able to grow because church is only, you know, I'm not going to let people do anything. We've got a bunch of different people in our church that are, you know, they can preach rings around me as a pastor. Like they're so much, great teachers of the word, they're articulate in everything that they do. But I know what my lane is. My lane is to encourage. My lane is to cast vision. I know that God's called me to pastor our church. So I'm not going to try and be something that I'm not. But God's called me to build the church. But I've got great people around me that I can release to do the things that God's called them to do. Amen. And I don't have to be threatened as a pastor because I know that they come alongside vision. They love our church. They love our house. They want to build the church alongside us. And so I want to be a releaser of people. But you know, God's called us all to be releasers of people. Amen. In your life, just be a release. Don't live your life threatened, because if you live your life threatened, there's going to be a cap on your life and you're actually going to miss out, right? You're actually selling yourself short. You know, I picked on the musicians this morning. I'm going to pick on them again. But the truth is, you know, maybe the worship pastor or the guitarist or whatever, you know, this is one of the places where you've really got to be releasing, right? Because people can see you all the time. You can hold on so tightly, right, to your position. And worship leaders can sometimes be the worst. Sorry, worship leaders. Where's... It's all good. I know you're awesome. You're awesome. You're a releaser of people, man. But the truth is that we've got to be releasers of people, because sometimes we hold on so tightly to what we have and we're scared someone's going to take that. But you don't have to be afraid. You just understand that God's called you for such a time as this. He's got a plan and purpose for your life, amen. He hasn't given you a gift and a talent just to tease you. He's given it to you to help build the church, amen. And maybe at some stage, maybe you're not going to be on the platform. Maybe you're not going to be doing what those dreams that were in your heart. But he's going to take you to greater things than you ever thought you could ever do or think or imagine, amen. I think about myself as a pastor. I never actually thought that I would pastor a church. In fact, I think most people probably thought that I wouldn't pastor a church, if I was to be honest. But the truth is that I just chose to serve in church. I didn't do it perfectly. I messed up sometimes. Alan was talking before about just, you know, serving in church and doing whatever. I was just willing to do whatever, because most of the time when I was doing something, I wasn't doing it very well, and I could tell, and I just wanted to serve. But you know what? Over time, I got better at what I was doing, and I found my fit. Amen. And I just wanted to serve somewhere because I just wanted to, do you know what I mean? I just wanted to build the church. I was passionate about the things of God, passionate about church. But the truth is that when I married Julie, my amazing wife, we didn't talk about pastoring a church. We thought that we were going to be worship pastors or worship leaders for the rest of our lives and just sowing into the team that we were a part of. But God had other plans, right? But we only found out that we were going to pastor a church by serving another man's vision, right? Just serving in the house. We actually never had that thought of one day we're going to go off and plant a church. But then one day God just put that on my heart. I talked to my wife about it, Julie, and she's more smarter than I am, but it took her about 18 months to actually come. When I first told her, she's like, no way, we're not planting a church. No way we're going back to Canada, because that's where Julie's from originally. But God had other plans for us. And about 18 months later, she came to me and she said, hey, babe, actually, I think this is something that we're supposed to do. And then we sat on it for a couple of years because we wanted to serve, not double focused, but we wanted to serve the vision of the house that we were in. Went and talked to our pastors, and then about 2 years later, we ended up going and planting the church in Canada. I never ever thought I would do that. And I remember when I got off the plane, I thought, okay, I've never preached a message in my life, or the couple of messages that I did preach were terrible. And so I turned up, and I wasn't a pastor on staff or anything before that. And I don't suggest you do it the way that we do it, the way that we did it, but we needed the journey that God had called us to. But why am I telling you that? Because God's going to take you places that you never thought you would be, but it's going to come from being planted in the house. Amen. And He's put dreams in your heart, and sometimes we chase those dreams, but they're just teasers to what God actually has for your life. And sometimes it's going to look very different, right? It's going to look very different because, you know, we see this, God sees this, right? So don't sell yourself short by chasing opportunity, but understand that God cares about you, He loves you, and He has greater things for you. Amen. His dreams are bigger than your dreams, let me tell you. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are greater than your thoughts. Amen. So don't live life-threatened. Just choose to be a releaser of people. If you've got a business here today, if you're a business guy, be a releaser of people in your business. Come on. This is for every area of life, but it's got to be attached to hope. Hope brings purpose. Amen. Hope and purpose equals freedom. Amen. You don't longer have to walk around trying to keep up with the Joneses, feeling like, oh, I've got to do this. No, there's a freedom that comes from hope and purpose. You're not just trying to do things because you want to look good, right? You're doing things because God's called you to do it, and you just want to build people's lives. You want to make a way for other people, and you want to be a releaser of people in Jesus' name. Amen? You guys are amazing. Your passion will be misguided when you don't understand hope and purpose. Your passion will be misguided when you don't understand hope and purpose. What do I mean by that? Well, the truth is there's so many people walking around with misguided passion in life, right? We're trying to sell our passions into this and our passions into that, but it's because we don't understand hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Function from your relationship with Him. No, it's not that simple, but yes, it is that simple all at the same time. Amen? Hope is in Jesus. Function from your relationship with Him. Your passion will be misguided when you don't understand hope and purpose. You'll always be chasing something other than Jesus. You'll always be chasing something other than His purposes, right? And you'll never be satisfied. Nothing will ever be good enough. And when you're in that job, you'll always want to go to the next level, and you want to go to the next level, but not for His purposes, but for your own purposes. And that's when you trample on people's heads, right? Come on, that's what happens in the world. They trample on other people to get to where they want to go. And there's this big trail of mess along the way, but that's not what the people of God are called to do. Amen. We're called to love people all the way through. Amen. We're called to be releasers of people all the way through. Amen. So let's guide our passions towards the things of God. Amen. Because He's the one who gives us passion in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two. I've already touched on this, but we're going to go a little further into this. Our purpose is to make a way for other people. Our purpose is to make a way for other people. Well, Damien, you said that our purpose is to bring glory to God. Yes, our purpose is to bring glory to God, but God is all about people. Amen. And I think maybe last time I preached at City Church, I talked about people. But the truth is that we're all people because we're made in the image of God. Amen. Come on, you're a people person. You might be shy. You might be, maybe you're an introvert or maybe an extrovert in this place. All of us are called to love other people, right? Amen. The introverts are called to reach people the extroverts can't reach because sometimes those people actually don't want to go near an extrovert. So just too loud and proud maybe for them. I don't know what it is, but God's called you to reach other people. You were made in His image and you are a people person. And I used to think that I wasn't a people person. In fact, and maybe it's hard to believe, but like when we planted the church, like I'm actually by nature an introvert and I would much rather not. Once I get to know people, it's all good. But by nature, I'm actually an introvert. So when we planted the church, I would actually go straight from preaching as soon as the service finished and I'd go straight to the bathroom, not because I ate something bad the night before, but because I was actually hiding and I didn't actually want to go into the auditorium and actually start talking to people because I was too afraid. And you know why? Because I'd go and have conversations with people and it would just be, so I'd be, hey, so how's it going? Oh, yeah. Yeah, how's the weather? Yeah, you know those conversations where it's just going nowhere. But then they'd go and talk to somebody else and they'd be like, blah, 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 and I thought it was something wrong with me. But the truth is that we're all called to reach different people. Amen. I can actually speak to all of you and sow into your life from the platform. But if we were to get off the platform, we might not have anything in common, right? And that's the beauty of the church, is that all of us together with all gifts and talents and all different personalities and uniqueness, is that we can all be a part of the body of Christ. We can all get behind one vision, amen, which is all about Jesus. I love the vision of City Church. Amen. And we can all bring glory to God, and we can all make a way for other people, even just by turning up and being present in church. You know, we were thinking quite a while back, trying to figure out how do we put our vision of our church just into just a couple of words. And basically what it's come down to is just making a way for other people, right? And when people say, what's your church all about? I just say it's making a way for other people. And I have had on one occasion someone say, well, what about Jesus? And I'm like, well, obviously you're a religious nut, but anyway. But I'm like, well, the church is about Jesus. I mean, that's obvious, right? But making a way for other people. That's what I want to live my life for. And as I make a way for other people, God's going to get the glory. Amen. This isn't about me, it's about Him. And the truth is I trip up over my own foolishness sometimes. I'm imperfect. There's only one who is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And as I choose to understand hope, amen, my hope is in Jesus, my trust is in Jesus, I'm going to understand my purpose. And when I put those two things together, I'm going to be able to walk in freedom. Amen. I'm going to be able to do all the things that God's called me to do, because I'm not trying to chase opportunity, and I'm not trying to live my life for, you know, anything, you know, greater, except for understanding that my strength comes from Him, my peace comes from Him, my joy comes from Him. Amen. It says in the Word of God that trouble will come. Amen. That's why we need His strength. That's why we need His joy. That's why we need His peace. And when you understand hope and freedom, then you can also understand that whatever circumstance I'm going through, I can walk through it in peace. He gives us peace beyond all understanding. Amen. He gives us peace beyond all understanding. And in this world that we live in, with chaos and confusion and so many crazy things going on, we can understand that even when all that stuff's happening, we don't have to completely fall apart, because He's the one who gives us peace beyond all understanding. Amen. And that helps to give us clarity even when we're walking through the valleys. Amen. Amen. He gives us strength, and He gives us joy despite our circumstances, because our joy isn't based on our circumstances, it's based on Jesus. And so many of us, when we're walking out our lives, is that our joy is based on our circumstances. So when things don't work out, we fall into a complete pit, right? Forgetting that our joy actually has got to be in Jesus. Amen. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our strength. Amen. He loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. We turn to Job 23. You doing okay? You guys are awesome. Did you know that? A few people know that. Keep telling yourself. What did I say? Job 23 verse 10. I'm going to go from verse 8. And I've got a few more minutes left, so. You ready for it? This is a really powerful passage of scripture. And I'm believing that in this moment, and I want you to be receptive, I want you to lean in, I want you to be expectant of what God's going to do right now, because I believe that this passage of scripture is going to change some people in this place tonight. You okay? You ready for it? But if I go to the east, He is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find Him. When He is at work in the north, I do not see Him. When He turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of Him. But He knows the way that I take. And when He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. I wonder if the keyboard player could come up, or maybe the whole band could probably come up if they want to. But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed His steps. I've kept to His way without turning aside. I've not parted from the commands of His lips. I've treasured the words of His mouth more than daily bread. I just love this passage. But the truth is that often in life, we feel like, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but you've looked everywhere. You've been in the Word, you feel like you've done everything right, and yet everything seems to be going wrong. Right? Am I the only one in this place that's felt that way? There's a few hands. You don't have to put your hand up. It's okay. But it says, but He knows the way that I take. He knows the way that you take. In fact, He always goes before us anyway. He's preparing a way. Amen. But He knows the way that I take. And when He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Let the trials of life refine you, not define you. So when we don't understand hope and purpose, we're ruled by our experiences. Often what happens is, if you've had a broken down marriage, and maybe there's people in this place, maybe your marriage broke down, maybe you're divorced, maybe the idea that you have is your experience is that marriage doesn't work. But don't live by your experience. Don't let your experience define you. Let the Word of God refine you. Let your experiences help build your future. Amen? You go through the trial. Choose to come out the other side as gold. Maybe your experiences that maybe your jobs haven't been working out, maybe your friendships haven't been working out, maybe you feel really, really lonely because maybe your friendships just, maybe you've been burnt. Maybe you've been burnt by church. I know I said that before, and maybe it's for some people here today, and I'm not here to say, I love the church. So I know that you can actually be burnt in church. I know that you can be offended in church, but sometimes it's better just to look on the inside and think, man, what can I change about the way? Yeah, I realize that there are some situations that happen and you couldn't do anything about it. But the truth is that the church is wonderful. The church is amazing. And don't let your experiences with church define your future. Just be refined by the Word of God. Amen? Come on. This is good stuff. I'm preaching better than you're responding tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. It's all good. But the truth is that, you know, don't live by your experiences. If you understand hope and you understand purpose, you don't have to live by your experiences. You live by the Word of God, amen? And the Word of God says that you have a part to play, amen? The Word of God says that when you turn up, when you choose to be a part, amen, where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in our midst. It says, don't forsake the gathering together of the saints. It says that for a purpose, and the purpose is that you have a part to play in church. You have a part to play, even if you're burnt out, even if you feel like you've completely messed up, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God cares about you. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. And He wants to see you move forwards for His purposes so that He can get the glory, but also so you can make a way for other people. And you know what? If you want to break through in your life, what happens is if you smash through glass with your fist, you're probably going to get a few cuts on your fist, and I don't suggest you do that. But when you smash through glass, and you know, you're going to be able to climb through whatever that thing is that you've smashed through. And when you climb through it, because you've smashed through it, you actually make a way for other people to be able to climb through, right? So when you have a breakthrough in your life, it's not just good for you, but it's good for other people, amen? But also it brings glory to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the One who created you, who loves you, who cares for you, who has a plan and a purpose for your life, amen? And I'm going over time here, but I just want to finish with this. Maybe you've lost your hope. Maybe you're thinking, Damien, yeah, that is so simple. I just don't know if I can do it. The truth is you can't do it. You need Jesus. You need His strength. You need His peace. Stop striving. Just lean into Jesus, amen? When you come into church, just lean into the worship. Fake it till you make it, I said this morning to the Coast Campus, and some theologians are going to be like, what? But the truth is sometimes you just, you know, it even talks in the Bible, come in with thanksgiving, right? Be thankful before you even got your miracle. Just come in with thanks, come in with praise. I say to my team, fake it till you make it. When I turn up to church on Sunday morning, sometimes sorry, they're in here, so I'll be careful what I say, but they're fighting in the car, and maybe I have yelled at them, which, you know, I don't yell. No, I do sometimes. And then I get to church and I've got to get up and preach. And sometimes I've got to fake it till I make it. I've got to get myself into that place. And sometimes I don't feel thankful, even though I've got everything to be thankful for. Amen. But sometimes when you come into church, you just got to choose to be in church. Amen. Because other people's lives depend on it. Amen. Choose to enter in and worship. Maybe you don't feel like raising your hands. Just put your hands up and surrender. Like, oh God, I love you. Even if not for me. For somebody else, amen? Because the truth is when you worship God, He'll always give you something back. You can't go to God and be like, I just want to worship you, God. I don't want anything back. No, He always gives back when you worship. He'll speak to your spirit, He'll speak to your heart, amen? And so I'm believing that for those tonight who maybe you don't, you feel like you've lost hope, I'm believing for clarity tonight. I believe that clarity is going to come through, just a peace in your life, amen? I believe there's also someone here tonight where you've got to make some big decisions and you feel like there's chaos and confusion in your head. You're just like, oh, I've got big decisions. Maybe something's happened and you just don't know how to move forward. So I believe that God's going to give you clarity in His presence tonight. Amen. There's nothing greater than clarity from the Holy Spirit. You come in here and maybe your situation will still be exactly the same when you walk out of here, but you're going to be able to think about it differently because you've been in His presence. You found His peace. Amen. You found His joy. You found His strength. Amen. And because of those three things, you're going to have clarity in your spirit and clarity in your heart. And you're going to be able to walk out of this place. And yes, things may still be the same. Maybe you haven't got the miracle that you asked for, but you're going to be able to make better decisions because you've been in His presence. Amen. So there's those two people. And then also, lastly, I know that there's people in here, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you've never made that decision. There's nothing greater than a relationship with Jesus. Man, let me tell you. I'll tell you this. When you ask Jesus into your life, it doesn't mean things are going to be rosy all the time. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be awesome moving forwards. But it does mean that you can draw from His strength. It does mean that you can have peace beyond all understanding. It does mean that you can have joy despite your circumstances, right? It says in the Bible that trouble will come. I'm not a doomsday preacher, but I know that trouble happens. Stuff happens in life, right? I'm not gonna stand up here and say it's all going to be awesome and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but I do believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ will cause your life to prosper. Every area of your life. Amen. Don't just give Him part, give Him all. Don't just serve with part, serve with all of your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So if you don't know Jesus here tonight, no, it doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy, but man, there's nothing better than a life lived for God. There's nothing better than having Jesus in your heart. Amen. He loves you. He cares for you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And maybe you've got lots of stuff. Maybe you've got a great business. But if you haven't got Jesus, you haven't even touched the surface of what you can do. Because all of a sudden, it's not about building something for your own purpose. It's about building something greater, something bigger than yourself. Something that's worldwide. It's not the local church, it's the global church. Amen? So here, I believe that my fruit in Canada is your fruit here in Tauranga. I believe that your fruit here in Tauranga is my fruit in Canada. I reckon if you do some research in the Bible about fruit, you're not going to be able to, you know, any theologians in the house. I don't think you're going to be shouting me down on that one, because I don't think there's any better theology than that. The truth is that your fruit's my fruit, my fruit's your fruit. It's the beauty of the body of Christ, the global church. Amen. We celebrate the church down the road. Amen. Come on. We do that about speaking well about each other. Amen. It's got to start in the church. Man, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. I don't take it for granted. I don't take the platform for granted. I just thank you so much, Alan and Alana, for just letting me speak tonight. But I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you're encouraged. I think Alan's going to come up and talk to you about... Actually, you know, I want to pray. Why don't you stand up? I want to pray first before I hand over. Is that okay? I just keep looking at the clock and thinking, I don't want to be bad. We're sticklers for time in our church. So we start on time, we finish on time. I don't want to dishonor. Why don't you just lift your hands to Jesus? Come on, every person in the house. Even if you don't feel like it, fake it till you make it. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for every single person in this building, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, for those that have lost hope, Lord Jesus, that they would find that hope right here, right now, in your presence, Lord Jesus. They would understand that they actually already have, if they've asked you into their lives, they already have the hope. It's just about awareness, understanding, no, I carry Jesus. That's all. You just got to understand that and go to His word. Don't strive. Don't feel like there's all these rules and regulations of how you should and shouldn't read the Bible. Just start somewhere and move forward. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just do a work in people's hearts right now, Lord Jesus, that you would just move in their hearts, you give them strength, you give them peace, and you give them joy, Lord God. We just thank you for all the great things that you have done, for the great things that you're doing right now, and for the great things that you're going to do, in Jesus' name. I pray for the person who maybe doesn't have clarity in this place tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray that walk out of this place with complete clarity tonight about those next decisions, about those next steps, Lord Jesus, that there wouldn't be striving, that there wouldn't be anxiety, that there wouldn't be depression because of those things, Lord Jesus, but they'll be led by your Holy Spirit in everything that they do, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be clarity. And I also pray, Lord God, for those that don't know you in this place tonight, Lord Jesus. I know that you're speaking to some people's spirits, speaking to some people's hearts, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would just bring the right people around them, Lord Jesus, that understand that they're in a place where people love them, where people care, that they don't have to have it all together, that it's you that does the work on the inside, that we can't change them, only you can change, Lord Jesus, and that you just do a work that only you can do, Lord God. And I pray, Father, we'd understand that it's not about perfection, but it's about being in love with the one who is perfect, and that is you, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you, Father, for your your goodness and for all the great things that you're doing in City Church. We thank you, Father, for Pastors Alan and Eleanor, Lord God. I just pray, Father, for just something fresh in you on their lives just over these next few months, Lord God, as with the building and with all the different things that are going on. Lord Jesus, we pray for increase, Lord God. I just know, Father, that you're just getting started with them, Lord Jesus, and that their best days are ahead, Lord God. And so we thank you for them. We pray a blessing over their lives, Lord Jesus, over the whole church, Father. We just thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your love. And I thank you once again, Lord Jesus, for the great opportunity to be able to speak to your church tonight, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.